This is the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast.
A lot of our guests at that house wanted to cancel because there were no boat rental options. And you know, if you rent a lake house, chances are you also want to rent a boat. So decided to figure out the logistics to provide a single boat to our guests, pretty much just so they wouldn't cancel their reservations, and realize in a short period of time, like, there was a ton of demand for boat rentals.
You're listening to the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast, where we discuss tangible tips, tricks, and best practices for becoming financially free. The show is designed for people who want to either start real estate investing or for those who want to scale their real estate business.
What's up, guys? This is Jonathan Farber, host of the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast. This show is all about achieving financial freedom as fast as possible so you can do whatever makes you happy in life. For me, that vehicle was real estate, and it's how I achieved financial freedom at 27. If you want to know how I got started, my journey is presented in a YouTube video posted in the show notes, and I post daily in our private Facebook group about my favorite topics and day-to-day strategies. I appreciate you guys being here, and let's get started. Oh, by the way, reach out if you ever need help. I try to keep my calendar open to talk to anyone that needs it or has any quick questions. See you guys. Talk to you later. What's going on, guys? Today we have an awesome episode with Jeremy Worden. Jeremy and I connected actually on TikTok, where he had some awesome content on boats, on Airbnbs and glamping. We get into all that in the show, but just a great guy and really a fun episode. I think we're going to do more together. You'll hear in the episode today, we have a lot in common. Including also location. He's from New York originally, but splits time between New York, North Carolina, and Florida. If you guys listen to the show, you know those are some of my favorite places in the US, and we'll probably meet up in one of those. But his background really consisted of pre-COVID, he was getting into managing Airbnbs for other people. And then during COVID, got deeper into the world of boats, more into Airbnbs, buying Airbnbs, co-hosting Airbnbs, and also now getting into the world of glamping. And collectively with those, just for context, he's making well over multiple six figures a year doing this. And it's just a really successful business that started in a short time. And I know a lot of you guys are looking for what is the way to make the best return in the shortest period of time, which we get into in the show. It's just really cool to hear how he did that. Overall, it's just a great story, very profitable, very repeatable, which I know is one of my favorite types of stories. And I know you guys like that as well. And like I said, he's not been doing it that long, which is amazing because I know a lot of you guys are trying to figure out how to leave your jobs, which this could be a cool way. If you live near a lake or you're interested in managing for other people, one of my favorite strategies for achieving financial freedom or just leaving your office job. The main learning I had from the show was boating in general. We talk a lot about the boat for rental world and what he learned, how he would start over again. We've never had someone on the show talking about that. So we dig deep into like the boat rentals and how you can kind of add that as a complimentary tool to your Airbnb if you live near a lake, kind of a cool throw-in. And then the main learning I had was really separating the boat company from the Airbnb business and company and how money exchanges between the two things. It's not necessarily always going to be on the Airbnb listing. It can be kind of done through a company now that he started to keep things separate and also keep kind of like a flow of transactions and making sure that there's some organization. Very cool to hear how he explained it and kind of the learning curve of how he first started. He was getting hit up constantly and had so many hourly rentals and it wasn't organized to now where things are getting a lot more streamlined and systematized. A tangible tip from today's episode and just in general is for picking locations using the Google tools. There's so many amazing tools that Google puts out that I think get forgotten just because we know it is like a search engine, but they have search trends and they have keyword planning, which is really cool too, because you could figure out for certain areas or for certain topics, what are the more trending topics? What are people searching? And then you can kind of appeal your business to those things. And it works the same way with locations as well. If you pick out places based on Google Travel or Google Explore, where you can find places that people are going and how many reviews things in that area have or how many pictures have been taken, it's a good indicator that some people may not be aware of to see how busy or up and coming an area is. So it's really cool. Jeremy mentioned some of those tools and we'll put those in the show notes as well. Without any further ado, seriously awesome episode with Jeremy. Go check out his stuff and we'll see you on the next one. This one's very fun. All right, Jeremy, what's going on, man? Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Jonathan. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm excited to have this conversation. I feel like we have so much in common and you're on a very similar track to what I was doing and even better than me, just doing it at a younger age. So We'll just jump right into it, man. I feel like there's a lot that we're going to cover, from Airbnb to boat Airbnb to social media, getting started as a beginner. So for those that don't know, man, or haven't seen you on TikTok or any of the social medias, man, could you give us a quick background on who you are, but really how you got into this business, how you got into entrepreneurship, and then from a high level, bring us up to speed on where you're at with it today?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, thanks for having me. I'm 24 years old, and I would just say general entrepreneurship. I've always been pretty competitive. Like you, I played, you know, college sport. My brothers did as well, just, you know, competitive. And I think entrepreneurship, people are just competitive. It's just naturally kind of what they flow into. So started a couple companies when I was late in college, one being like a digital marketing company. And then towards my end of college, I was helping to run a private equity startup in New York that kind of got me into like investing, different types of like financial products, and really intrigued me. But it was very, you know, New York's incredibly expensive. And because of the startup, I just wasn't making a lot of money. That tends to happen for early stage startups. So I had to supplement my income. And the way that I did that was by co-hosting a single Airbnb property in North Carolina, which is, you know, where I'm from. And then through that, you know, co-hosting and earning some revenue there, I was able to really like dip my toes in short-term rentals and kind of just feel out this like kind of new marketplace being Airbnb. And I was just shocked by, you know, how well that single property was able to do. And then March of 2020, COVID hit, and things kind of just really took off organically. It just happened to be like a rural rental property. And there was a big shift from urban to rural. You know, and also I personally had a shift from New York City, from urban, to then going back to North Carolina, to more rural areas. And I kind of realized that actually demand, pretty random, but you know, we had I managed a lake house, and all of our guests wanted to rent a boat. And the one company doing boat rentals in March of 2020 stopped doing boat rentals. You know, COVID, you know, for them, it was seen as too big of a risk. A lot of our guests at that house wanted to cancel because there were no boat rental options. And, you know, if you rent a lake house, chances are you also want to rent a boat. So decided to figure out the logistics to provide a single boat to our guests, pretty much just so they wouldn't cancel their reservations, and realized in a short period of time, like there was a ton of demand for boat rentals. And once, you know, you figured out the logistics for a single boat, it's not that hard to, all right, let's add a couple more boats here. Also, you can get incredible financing with boats if you have a good credit score, 0% down loans. So, you know, at the time, I really did not have that much money individually. I was really like living in New York, like relatively paycheck to paycheck. I did some like technology consulting, just again, just to kind of supplement. But yeah, with the very minimal amount of money invested in boats and had a very, very high return with that, it was a really good timing. So yeah, a few months later, was able to scale, buy more boats. And then actually through that, more people were asking me to manage their properties. So yeah, it was just very organic, just started, you know, getting into this management and boat rentals. And then this year started investing in my own properties. Actually, you know, again, I didn't have enough money to buy entire properties. So syndicated deals with friends where we would all put in less money. And actually, you know, I'm buying another one right now. I'm also starting to get into glamping. So buying a Airstream camper to put on a lake in North Carolina. I know it's kind of all over the place, so I'll let you get it back on track. But yeah, that's I've went from kind of a startup background to investing in short-term rentals.
The one thing that I take away from that, which has been the case for a lot of, I'd say, self-starter entrepreneurs or people that were intrapreneurs in a company, is that it's a little harsh to say, but for a lot of people, COVID was the best thing that ever happened to them or their business. I am definitely one of those people too. And it kind of came down to like a mindset thing of, are you going to look at it like an opportunity or like a sentence? And it seems like for you, it was a total trajectory change of starting these businesses, growing them, and really seeing what it would be like, you know, in a post-COVID world. So a couple of questions. You did cover a lot of awesome topics there, and a couple that are complete first-time topics on the show. So I'm excited to just dig into them. The first, I'll just kind of go through like the notes and questions I had. What is co-hosting for you? You mentioned that's how you got started. Can you just define what that is?
Yeah, so co-hosting is kind of akin to like property management. So that being that you essentially market a home, so you find renters. And the way that's done for, you know, short-term rentals is on Airbnb and Vrbo. So I listed the platform on, listed the property on these platforms on behalf of the homeowner, and did the marketing as well as communicate with the cleaners. So, you know, when one guest leaves, you have another guest come. So you need to have the cleaners there in between to get it ready. Also, if something breaks, you know, you need to reach out to a handyman, get them over. So, in a nutshell, that's co-hosting.
And you mentioned that's how you started. So I'm just curious, where were you living at the time and where was the property?
Yeah, so I was living in New York City, and the property was, you know, I'm from New Jersey, but I moved to North Carolina when I was 10, went to UNC Chapel Hill, and the property was probably about 50 minutes away from UNC Chapel Hill.
Can you just explain, well, one, how you secured that contract being out of state, and then also some of the basics of managing a property from out of state?
Yeah, so the first one was, I mean, it was just, you know, family, friends, just, you know, lake that went to a lot. I secured it when I was in state, definitely. And I pitched the homeowners, which it's like shared ownership between my family and friends. So I say family, friends. I was 16 when I, maybe 15, when I pitched the deal to my dad and a friend. And my older brother had went to West Point. So he kind of went to college for free, and I knew what his college fund looked like. So I said, like, let's take that, let's invest, like, let's get someone else to invest and let's buy this lake house. So yeah, definitely the first one was, you know, it was family, for better or worse. Mm-hmm. But if I went back, I would have reached out to every single person I could on the lake and, you know, really grew it that way. But at the time, you know, I mean, yeah, everybody knows someone who owns a property. So I'd reach out to the closest connections first if you're looking to do that.
That's such an important thing that I think I struggled with a lot at the beginning, and I think a lot of people struggle with too. You hear it a lot on podcasts that people need to know what you're looking for. People need to know what you do. And I actually just posted about this last night that you never want to be the best kept secret, because if you have something to offer and someone has a need, it's kind of selfish to not make that connection. So a lot of times I think people have something to offer, but they might be shy or afraid of speaking or have imposter syndrome, and they're not getting the word out there about their business. And for me, it was a progression. I feel a lot better about it. I feel like in a couple of years, I'll feel a lot better about it. We'll get to social media too, because I feel like you also probably are now getting a lot of inbound stuff from that and, you know, growing a brand. But again, it's just a reminder that you had an opportunity to do this and you solicited it and kind of like let people know, and then you pitch people, and that's how you get business in like this day to day. So the other question about that was management. A lot of people listening to the show are interested in co-hosting or interested in self-management, but don't think it's really possible to do it from distance. So can you just talk about some of the learnings you had starting out doing co-hosting or managing for other people on your first time from distance, and maybe some best practices?
Yeah. So, I mean, really, if you have a phone, you know, it's just communication. Most businesses, it's really, you know, communication. So getting, you know, vendors, is really the big part, is, you know, communicating with the cleaners. That's big. Handyman. And in some ways, like, I kind of feel like, you know, people assume I do boat rentals too, and people assume like I have to be there. So like for the boat rentals, honestly, it's significantly harder for me to operate the boat rental business actually physically from being there. And the reason is because the cell service is terrible. It's in a rural area, and like, I just can't get, you know, my phone just doesn't work. So yeah, as long as you have good cell phone service and good Wi-Fi, you know, you can pretty much, you know, you can be more productive in many ways than actually being boots on the ground at some of these places.
One question before we move off co-hosting, this is just like a tactical kind of behind the scenes question, but I've seen different opinions or approaches on it for someone that's starting out with co-hosting. Are they creating a co-host account? Are they creating their own personal account and managing as a co-host for that person, or logging into that person's Airbnb account and doing it from there? What's your, preference, or, you know, learning on how you were doing it then versus how you recommend doing it now?
Yeah, so it's definitely up to the owner, and you want to give them the options. I mean, if they want ownership of the listing, you know, if they think, oh, you know, we might go with another property manager down the line, but we don't want to lose, you know, the reviews, then you say, okay, here's how you set up an account. You know, maybe you even do a Zoom and walk them through how to do it. Obviously, it's easiest for me just to set it up from my own profile. And I prefer to do that. It also just makes the connections because, you know, once you get a certain volume, you start to utilize property management systems. So it's just, you know, you have to keep the sync between the accounts. Mm-hmm. And it's easier to do that with a lesser amount of accounts. But yeah, it really just depends on, you know, and a lot of it is just, you know, business as a whole is listening to the clients, which on the property management side of things is the homeowners and just feeling out what their wants and needs are and working with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha. Changing gears here a little bit, the boats. I don't know anyone that's doing boat rentals, boat arbitrage, boat, I guess, Airbnb. I don't know if there's a separate, I know, you know, it's, there's so many like ancillary pop-up, like pay as you go kind of sites that are for boats or not boats, for like pools or cars, you know, or other services. But I'd love to just hear from you, like the quick start guide or kind of like general experience. If someone's listening and they're thinking like, what is this boat rental thing? And is it viable compared to traditional Airbnb or Turo or like renting out the pool in my backyard?
Yeah, so there's definitely places and we've seen, you know, with COVID that kind of just boat demand has shot up an insane amount. I mean, houses, for instance, you know, people say, oh, house prices have like gone up like crazy. People say car prices have gone up like crazy. Honestly, I don't think it compares to pontoon boats and how much they've gone up in price. It's just a very outdoor activity. And right now, you know, people want to be outdoors and hanging out with their friends. That's seen as safer. So that being said, yeah, most places have a lake within, I don't know, an hour. They have an ocean, a sound, some body of water. Mm-hmm. Chances are there's demand for a boat rental there. Some places are well covered with lots of different options. But when we started, again, there was no competition at all at our first lake we did it at. At the time where demand just boomed, essentially. So it was really, and I was obviously like, I could feel that myself. And, you know, I could look at search trends, which I recommend, honestly, before starting any business, just go to Google search trends and you can select an area and see what people are looking for. Google Keyword Planner is a great tool for that. But yeah, so I did some research and, you know, started with one location and then had a lot of calls from people for another lake. Like they were calling us asking and it was like, oh, maybe I'll figure out the logistics for the second lake. And also one of my buddies wanted to quit his job and, you know, make some income. So I kind of structured it with him or I'll figure out the logistics. I'll buy the boats and like, we'll kind of just do a, you know, partnership where you'll run the second lake. And yeah, we did that this year and it went pretty well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know if that really answers your question.
Yeah, it does. I mean, again, it's just like a new thing. So I think a new thing to the show, new thing to me. So I think it's
yeah,
just like setting the foundation of like conceptually what it is. And then I guess beyond that, you know, cause what I was first thinking about with it, and it's funny cause like I'm looking at a property right now that has a property and has a like a deck attached to it. And there's a pontoon boat actually I'm staring at right now. And I'm thinking like, okay, you know, is that something that I'm putting on Airbnb? Is it something that I would maybe attach to my listing? Or like, what are the logistics of it from that standpoint? Cause you also see some Airbnb hosts that they offer like paid food in their Airbnb. They offer like paintings for sale, like all sorts of stuff. So I'm just, I guess for someone wondering, like, how do you tactically or like operationally make the connection or start advertising the stuff? That's, I guess, where I'm kind of going with it.
Yeah. So I call it a like complimentary or sorry, like a add-on service. Mm-hmm. It's not complimentary. My apologies. So essentially, you know, guests, we put it on our listing and, you know, on that. And honestly, it attracts a lot of guests because, you know, at lake houses, a lot of times, and this is what I was obviously, you know, alluding to beforehand. If you're staying at a lake house, you probably want to get a boat too. Like, I don't, maybe you have a boat. I don't know. You at least want some kayaks, but you want to be out on the water. That's kind of the draw of coming to a lake. Mm-hmm. So we saw that the boat honestly made our listing value go up significantly. However, boats are risky, and they definitely come with additional risks beyond, I'd say, majority of other vehicles or assets such as houses. Mm-hmm. So we definitely wanted to keep everything as separate as possible. So we started our own LLC, limited liability company, for the boats. And the boats are owned within its own entity. Mm-hmm. It's not owned by, like, you know, people who own houses. And it has its own commercial insurance policy. So we try to keep everything separate, and we don't, like, you know, on the listing, it's like we have a partnership with the local boat rental company. We don't say we are the local boat rental company, because you just really want to keep everything as separate as possible. I mean, eventually they understand you're the same, but, like, you just, again, just kind of like plausible deniability, like everything is separate.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's kind of down the path I was thinking of. Are you advertising the boat on Airbnb? Are you using a separate service other than Airbnb? You know, because, like, for cars, people are using Turo. I wasn't sure if there was a boat site like Turo that you're kind of linking, you know, with your Airbnb, or, like, so I guess you're doing all the boat rentals through Airbnb and not through even, like, Airbnb experiences or anything like that.
No. So initially, when we just started, we used this website called Boatsetter. And the reason we use them, they're a peer-to-peer platform. So they are akin to, like, Airbnb for boats. And they provide an option for an insurance package where essentially you don't have to get an additional commercial insurance package. You can just have your, you know, regular boat insurance, and they'll, per each renter, they'll add on a fee for insurance. So if something happens, like, they're your first layer of protection. So initially we used Boatsetter, this peer-to-peer platform, for the first boat. And while we were doing that, I made a website. I made, like, Heiko Lake Boat Rentals, Jordan Lake Boat Rentals. I made these websites, and I started I ran ads just to see if people would, because people weren't coming to Boatsetter. They're going to our Airbnb listing, and they had to then reach out to me, who had to then, because you can't send links through Airbnb. Mm-hmm. It's pretty annoying. So I had to then get them to call me to then get them to send, or I had to then send them to this website, Boatsetter, so they could book the boat. And that was just for the first boat. And obviously that's not, like, that's just way too much of friction. Mm-hmm. So then what we ended up doing was we ended up building our own website, Boatster, our own platform for booking. And we say, like, put in, well, if they reach out, because now we do multiple properties, we don't only do the one, we do a bunch, but I'll say, hey, they'll say, hey, can you tell us more information about the boat? And I'll say, go to Heiko Lake Boat Rentals, like, or Boatster, you know, just tell them what to kind of find and select the boat you want. And they'll go in, they'll pick the boat, they'll pick the days they want it, and then it'll give us all their information, and we can kind of, like, approve or reject the request, the boat request. Because the thing with boats is, like, you shouldn't rent to any willy-nilly person. Like, I'm gonna be very upfront with that. Like, just because someone wants the boat doesn't mean you're giving them the boat, you know? Same with the houses, but a lot more with the boats.
Well, a couple comments. One, it sounds like that's a cool potential, like, business or service too, if you started, like, a boat hosting platform, like Turo for boats. I'm sure it exists, but, like, that's an, I mean, again, it removes the, it's more of a software business than a people business. So, like, that's cool. On the note of not letting anyone on the boat, I'd just love to hear, what are you looking for on people to give the boat to, or what are some red flags that if someone says something or you see something, you're not giving them a boat?
Yeah. So definitely the first year, doing it, made some mistakes. So initially, you know, going through the peer-to-peer platform, like, we started with, you know, only people could book staying at our one property. Then I realized, like, more people wanted it, but, like, people would just, you know, reach out and request the boat, and, you know, they wouldn't say anything about themselves, and, you know, just automatically accepted the booking. And I mean, like, age-wise, you know, younger people are definitely more, in my experience, and you understand why car rental companies require you to be, I mean, I'm 24, but, you know, generally they require you to be 25 to rent a car. It's for a reason. I don't know the whole frontal cortex lobe thing, but age, yeah, definitely in my experience, there's a high correlation between incidents and younger people. So we make them obviously put in their age. We want them to put in you know, how many renters there's going to be. If there's, you know, the boat's for 10 people and they put in 10, you know, that's a little riskier than if they say two adults and one kid, you know, and they put in how many adults and how many kids generally. So yeah, they just have to put in some information. You know, we ask them a few questions, and, you know, people who aren't going to articulate why they want a boat, you know, they just, if they're not going to go through that step and like write out like, hey, just want to go out, like my family rented a house for a week and we're just looking for a boat, you know, go fishing on. Like, we want them to just articulate as much as they can. Cause some people just, you know, they call in and they say, y'all got a boat? Like, that's all they ask. And it's just like, when do you want it? And they're like, right now. I'm like, all right. And it just, you get it. You see people who aren't willing to like explain why they, what they're looking for, then I don't know. There tends to be
problems. Yeah. It's like, you can tell someone's responsibility level from the way they conduct themselves in a lot of cases. Not to say like in every case, the way someone does something is the way they do everything, but in a lot of cases that is true. And it's almost like self-selection, that if they're not going to take the time to fill out a form, are they going to take the time to make sure that stuff isn't getting broken on a boat or a house?
Exactly.
You know? And like, you know, what I think about a lot with this stuff that it's sort of underrated is like, things exist for a reason. A lot of times there's definitely some antiquated things, but like the fact that insurance companies don't let people under a certain age do things, or car rental companies don't rent to people under a certain age, like they do those things for a reason. And not to say that like some things again can't be fixed or improved, but like they have the data from hundreds of thousands of claims to do that for a reason. And like, they're in business and they have been doing it successfully for a long time. So like some of those things I think can just be like, okay, we're going to assume that they've done the work. It's almost like someone that buys near a Starbucks, a property, because they're like, Starbucks knows what they're doing. And not to say that's, again, always a perfect way to do it, but in general, companies that have massive budgets and do research, they can track these things. So it's just interesting. Yeah. We've had all of our bad experiences. I could have pretty much predicted. And it's a good lesson, I think, for people. Curious what your comment is on this, of like, when someone is desperate for a person to come into their place, or, you know, they start kind of breaking their personal rules on like tenant qualifications, it almost never ends well. So I'm curious for you, like any comment on that, or like any experience that you kind of knew you shouldn't have taken the person, and then it ended up kind of like not being great because you knew.
Yeah. I mean, I've had negative experiences with, you know, houses as well as the boats, and definitely same thing with the houses, try to make people explain, you know, why they're coming, who they're coming with, just give a little bit of information on that. And also, you know, we have age requirements for the houses, and usually the owners are the ones who like kind of dictate what they want the age requirement to be. With the boats, I mean, I'll just give like one story is that last year, you know, So I got a call, like, you know, maybe started in March with the boats, and, you know, by April now had our own website up. You could Google and find us. And we had a phone number, and that phone number pinged my phone. And I was in my New York apartment, and I get a call from like someone who sounds pretty young. And he's just like, do you guys have a boat on July 4th? And I'm like, we do. And he goes, okay, how much is the price? And like, I hear that he's young. So I'm like, all right, I don't really, this is a little sketchy, but at the time I hadn't, you know, we really had only had a few renters. Like, I hadn't had negative experiences with young people. So I didn't really like think to like look out for that. So I just said $750. Like off the top of my head, I just said the boat cost $750. And this was a boat we bought for $5,600 2 months before. I go $750. And he goes, okay, perfect. And I'm like, he's like, okay, how can I pay? And he says like, how can I pay you? And I'm like, wait a minute, like, what's your age? He tells me his age. He's like 21. And I say, okay, well, sorry, you can't rent with us unless you get a boater's license. Like, you need, you know, North Carolina, you need to either be born prior to 1988 or have a boater's license to operate a boat. And he says, okay, how do I get that? And I say, well, you know, you go to this website and you do it. It should take you like a little bit of time. Like, maybe you don't want to do it. And he goes, okay, I'll have it for you tomorrow. I mean, he was a Jersey guy, like, very quick. He literally showed me the boater's license the next day. At that point, like, I didn't, you know, I took his money. He sent me $750 for, you know, something that was going to happen 4 months later. You know, getting paid on the float was great to buy more boats. That's like something to keep in mind while you want, you know, your own website versus going through maybe like a peer-to-peer once you're at a certain scale, because, you know, they get paid on Airbnb, gets paid initially, and then they pay out to you. So for the boats, we were able to earn money in April, May, and then buy boats for August, essentially. So unrelated, but I let this guy, took his $750. July 4th comes around. He's there with, you know, the boats maxed out with the number of people on it. He's actually very respectful, the one who rented it. But his friends, you know, they didn't care as much. And they, you know, essentially ran into like the mud. So like really shallow area, you know, a lot of lakes have very shallow areas. So they ran in, like broke the prop, like made some damage on the lower part of the boat. And then they had to get pulled out by the police. And not only did the boat get pulled out, but a couple of them got pulled out like with handcuffs. So our crew is calling me and they're like, yeah, they're getting towed in by the Lake Authority. And yeah, there looks like a couple of them are in handcuffs on the Lake Authority boat. And so, yeah, but that, and that just caused, you know, with the boats is like, once you kind of get a little bit of damage, like it kind of like cascades essentially. So maybe like we think it's working, but then four boat renters later it breaks, you know? So, yeah. So like, it just, it was, yeah. I mean, we never had renters who got taken away in handcuffs. Like they probably got a DUI. I mean, I don't want to make an assumption, but I'm assuming that's what it was.
Wow. Okay. That's, yeah, a good lesson. And it's funny you say the thing about like, once something is repaired, it just has a likelihood to break again, as opposed to being brand new and fixed the first time.
Yeah.
One thing I realized, we kind of just like, we got so deep into it, you know, could you just talk to like what type of boats these were, and also maybe just talk to like then the beginner who might be listening right now wondering like, all right, I want to give this a shot. Am I looking at buying like canoes or pontoon boats or like bigger boats? And, you know, like, do you have a recommendation on best way to start if someone is like into boating and they want to do this as a business?
Yeah. And I would say it definitely depends on your situation. I mean, if you're looking just like from an absolute return standpoint, from my experience, probably kayaks and jet skis are the best way to go. I mean, a jet ski you can get for, you know, several thousand dollars, and, you know, a lot of times they're rented by the hour. I've seen, you know, jet skis like range in price from probably like minimum $100 an hour. And, you know, on Saturdays they're rented out six times for an hour, you know? So, kayaks, you know, they might cost several hundred dollars and you can make 40, 50 bucks an hour. But that being said, like you have to actually be there like all day for these rentals. And like jet skis break all the time. It's like a lot. Jet skis are pretty like, you know, they suck something up and, you got to go pull them back in. Kayaks, that doesn't happen. I mean, I don't know how you would break a kayak. If you did, it would probably sink. That wouldn't be good. But that being said, it's kind of like risk tolerance too, and then time. So with like the pontoons on one of the lakes, like I love multi-day rentals because you're dealing with like less turnover. So it's kind of like, I've seen your posts about you like month-long renters. You know, that's something you didn't really think about at the beginning, but now like you're starting to, you know, understand, wow, like, you know, they pay almost as much, maybe not as much. They get a little bit of a discount, but you really only have to deal with one person for the entire month. It's the same thing with like, I don't even want to do a half day rental for the pontoon boats, because then you're dealing with two people for a day instead of one. So, I mean, jet skis and kayaks, you're probably dealing with more people. So that's something to keep in mind. But again, it's like higher returns per investment. So it's really your situation essentially that dictates what you should do. A lot of people in places, like maybe they want to do wakeboard boats and they want to drive them themselves and give people like wakeboard lessons. That can be very lucrative. I mean, I've seen wakeboard camps where you've got kids paying $1,000 for a week times, you know, seven or eight of them on a boat. And that's something I think a lot of people would love to do for a summer, is just captain a wakeboard boat. But again, it really just depends on your situation, how much time you're willing to put into it. For us, like both of our operations, our team in the middle of the day at one lake goes and cleans lake houses. They're also our team, you know, they're a team for the boats and they're also our team for property management. On another lake, my buddy just wants to go play golf in the middle of the day. That's kind of, he likes to drop the boats and go play golf. So whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Power to him. I mean, it's kind of like what we were talking about before. Before we hit record, we were talking about the trade-off of time and energy versus money. And there's a lot of different ways to make a dollar. And in some cases, there's easier ways and harder ways, you know? So it's just like, for some people that are listening to the show right now, it kind of what I'm hearing is like, if you're 22 and you have a lot of time and energy and maybe not that much money, then if you want to go and build a kayak and jet ski business and rent by the hour, you can make a lot of money. You might have a lot of time commitment and a lot of potential headaches, but like return wise, it's the lowest investment. You can make a lot of money. Yeah. So like that right there, if you're just a young money hungry person with a lot of time and energy right there, that could be your plan. And if you live near a lake, great. If not, maybe you could figure out how to do it from distance. Totally possible. But it sounds like for someone that might be more in the middle ground of building a side hustle and having a W-2 or an office job, like there are ways that you can do it with either full day boat rentals or even like multi-day boat rentals. Or if you have an Airbnb that's near a lake, maybe attach it to that and have your cleaner kind of help with the management of the boat. And it's kind of more paid by the stay of the group. It sounds like to me that would be a little bit of like a less time sensitive option, but you know, the returns might be a little less than the original where you're just in it all the time. And you're trying to max it out.
Yeah. And like, for me, the way I think about it is like, I did the boats once we knew we had a team who could do the boats. Cause it was never, I was never gonna, you know, like I like to travel. Also like, I think the biggest, like, it's good for me to, you know, be able to work on my computer. Like I studied computer science in school. Like that's where I think I can kind of, you know, like be as productive as possible. Like while sometimes, you know, I'll come in and just to like understand it myself, I'll do boat rentals, but like, I never built it with the idea of like, I'm going to be there all the time. And when we did our second location, you know, my buddy was like, are you going to commit to doing this? You know, are you going to put the time in? And I wouldn't have done the second location unless I personally had a crew I trusted doing it. So that's just something to keep in mind is, you know, if you're getting into something, you have to be realistic of like, what is the time commitment for me? Like, if I'm not going to be there physically, you know, these are physical businesses. If I'm not going to physically be there, do I have someone who will be there who I trust? That's just something to keep in mind.
Okay. Just because I know we're getting a little tight on time, I do have a bunch of other questions. I'm going to try to cram a couple in and we'll do our best to try to get them done. So on that note, you mentioned team a couple times here. What is your current, I guess, team look like? And that could be either employees or vendors. And then I guess, can you maybe just from a high level walk us through like the operations of communicating with them and dealing with them as far as like managing the day-to-day goes?
Yeah. So I definitely like to, I like our, like everyone, you know, our crew, I just like personally like we get along well. But yeah, I manage operations on a single lake. I do co-host for one property on another lake. But that one, like the owner already has like his like full-time cleaner and whatnot. So, but yeah, on the first lake we have, you know, we had a husband wife cleaning team. Who just started cleaning our single house. And, you know, they know everything about boats. You know, they work on boats. They know everything about this lake. Like they can tell you exactly where the fish are. People ask me, I'm like, yeah, you got it. I can't help you with that. So when I was I knew that they like could do this. That's one figure, like, you know, made it happen. So yeah, we started with a husband wife, but since we've grown from a single property to five boats on that lake, as well as five properties we're managing, they kind of actually at this point have delegated and hired additional cleaning crews. Cause like there's days in the summer where we'll have, you know, five houses on the same day. Cause a lot of times people want to check out on Sunday and the new group comes in on Sunday. So we'll have five boats and five houses on Sunday. And with that, they need to hire two or three more cleaning crews. But it's great because they delegate. You know, I interface with a couple of them, and then they interface with, you know, the other seven or eight people that are hired like seasonally in the summer, which is great. Delegation is awesome. You like, you know, as you alluded to, like you want to have, I mean, obviously, you know, it's great to communicate and engage, but like in terms of who you need to discuss, like talk to on a day-to-day business basis, it's great to like, you know, having people, you touch base with them and then they, you know, kind of go down the ranks. For the other lake, my buddy just does everything. I just set up the operation and I had the phone attached to my, like, you know, I had the phone number. We use a service where it'll dial like both of our phones. So, you know, we don't, So it's the same phone number and it's an app. I took it off my phone. I was getting way too many calls. Like, I was like, all right, buddy, you're on your own here. like you got this. Like, I can't, like, I'm just literally getting in the summer. There were days I was getting 75 phone calls. And it was not good, like, ooh, mentally. So I just, so that business, like, I don't even, it's just, we do our monthly or weekly or semi-monthly accounting. And that's like when we see check. And if like something happens, like, let's say, you know, something happens with the boat and needs like repairs or maintenance, like, I'll patch in our, you know, our mechanic, but now they just communicate directly. So yeah, I really don't, for that business, like, pretty much completely hands off, which is good.
Gotcha. That's okay. That's a really good overview. I guess right now for what you have going on, you know, like everyone in this business, there's so many different entrepreneurial routes you can go, and you're doing more than I think most already, especially in this space. So for you right now, what is like your biggest, you know, which of the businesses is the most profitable for you? Is it, or do you foresee being the most profitable for you over the next year? Is it the property you're going to own? Is it managing for other people, their Airbnbs or their boats, or is it your own boats? Like, where do you make the most money?
Yeah, so that's a good question, in the sense of like, what is my objective of, you know, investing in these things? And my long-term goal is honestly kind of have a situation like you have, where, you know, I'm invested in several properties, or I own several properties, where like theoretically, like, I could, you know, be halfway across the world, and, you know, the houses or the, what I mean, might be apartment complexes, whatever it is like making enough where, you know, I could like pursue my goals and dreams. And that's able to like earn enough, like, for me. So that's kind of like several years out. But, you know, short term, I didn't have like any money a couple years ago. So I've had to be scrappy and figure out like how to earn like high amounts of money without having a lot to start with. So for me, the boats have been the way to do that. You know, and I kept reinvesting in more and more boats. And yeah, this past year it was pretty good. And the houses, like, they're good too. And, you know, I'm managing them, but, you know, the goal is definitely to own more properties. And yeah, I think, like, people ask me, do I want to scale the boat business? To me, it's the same thing I said earlier, is like, if I'm gonna do a new lake or new place, I need to have a team that I know and trust before I even thinking about it, you know. And I actually have a call when I get off with you, these guys from Connecticut who reached out to me, they have a boat business there, and they're, you know, they, I don't know, they, we talked to them, and I'm like, their season's very short there. You know, it's, so I'm like, come down to North Carolina. Like, we can find a lake for you. Like, we'll make it happen. So that's the only way I'd really scale the boat side of things, is, you know, making sure I have, like, you know, if anyone listening to this has a lake and, you know, they want, I don't know, they want investment, or they want logistics help with them, and they want a partner, like, I could do, I'm into entering partnerships for boat businesses. With the houses, you know, I can personally manage more properties, like, more hands off. So yeah, I guess the goal is really just to take high cash flowing opportunities. So boats, I'm getting into glamping, because that's another thing where you can buy, you know, I'm actually today at 4 p.m. I'm not even going to be there. This transaction is going to happen completely remotely. I told my friend where my cash was, and he's buying a camper. I sold two boats, so I have cash from that. Yeah, that camper is going to cost $20,000, and I expect it to cash flow 30, you know? So wow. I'm expecting these high cash flow opportunities to then reinvest in properties or other high cash flow opportunities.
One thing before I comment on that, which do you see being the easier to manage? You mentioned, maybe you touched on it a little bit before, but if it was, let's say, boats or physical properties day to day, which do you think is easier to manage?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 1,000% houses. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing with boats is, and something you talk about, it's turnover, you know, like, yeah, we do have some like people who rent boats for a week. We actually had a 19-day boat renter, which was, I mean, that was great. But generally speaking, you know, there are a lot more daily rentals. So you're just dealing with more people. Plus, you know, like, if, you know, we have minimum rentals of 3 nights for the houses. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are a lot of, I mean, people with the houses, you know, a lot of times you have very high maintenance people, which is okay. You know, we're in hospitality. I'm not you know, I'm not trying to say anything about them, but that's just the nature of it. But, you know, you have one like high maintenance person you're talking to, you know, the boats, like you get a call, it's like, who's calling me again? You know, like, sorry, they're just, we have, you know, we've had 35 different renters this week. You know, it's like, it's just, there's just more people to deal with.
Totally. I'll go and say if you're high maintenance, I don't want to deal with you. So like, I know you're still maybe in the honeymoon phase of like, oh, it's okay if you're high maintenance. I don't want it. So like, if you're high maintenance, don't book with me. Cause like, that just doesn't work. So anyway, that's, you'll learn. Don't worry. That's really cool though to hear. So I guess just again, moral of the story, if someone is looking for just the highest return and they're trying to escape and make a lot of money right now, boats could be the option. If they're looking for more of maybe a little bit more quality of life and a little bit more of like a systematized business, maybe the housing or Airbnb, but like, and maybe glamping too. This could be a whole other, maybe we'll do a part two just on glamping. Cause
yeah, I'll let you know how it goes. Cause I can't really speak on it at the moment, but
perfect. 2 weeks,
a month from now, we'll see how it goes.
Okay, perfect. Then we could definitely do another part on that. Okay, so just kind of winding down here. The last thing before we get you out of here, and it's kind of a segue because usually the last question of the show is social media and best ways to get in touch. But you've definitely grown on social media. It seems like made it more of a focus and priority. Can you just maybe from a high level, give a quick blurb on like how and why that started and what it is today? And then obviously also mention your socials.
I've had a TikTok maybe for several months, but I definitely like started putting more time into it relatively recently. And the main one's my TikTok. I mean, I have an Instagram. I do some stuff on that. But I'm just trying to add value to people. And kind of like, I think what's like unique, I mean, other than, boats, like I guess I'm really the de facto boat rental guru just because really seems like there's not a lot of people in that space. I mean, there's a lot in the, you know, Airbnb real estate space, not as many in the boats, but I guess like, I'm just trying to be kind of like, literally like I started with, I mean, it's going to sound whatever. I have a spreadsheet where I've like kind of calculated my net worth like at different times. Oh, yeah. And I started, you know, probably, I don't know, like my senior year of college or maybe end of my junior year. And it was like nothing. Like I had no, like, it was like several thousand, like I had like under $10,000, pretty much a lot of it was just like my bar mitzvah money. And, and it's kind of like, that's when I started, like, that's actually junior year is when I started, like managing a property. And then kind of like, have just seen my progression from there. So I guess I can kind of like relate to people who've really started with nothing and just been scrappy and saved like everything they can to then reinvest in different opportunities. So I feel like I'm just giving long-winded answers to pretty specific questions.
It's always curious to hear how people get started with it and like, you know, what's come and changed from it, because we've had people on the show that have massive followings that just kind of happened. And then we have some that like, it was a very slow burn. They got to the same place, but in a very different way and for a different motivation and intention. So I'm always just curious because like for me, you know, I only know my reason for doing it and like my transition of not having it and then having it and then growing it. And like, it's just kind of a weird thing. So what are the best ways for people to connect with you on social media or get in touch?
Yeah. So TikTok, Jeremy Worden, Instagram, Jeremy Worden. I guess with TikTok, you can't reach out to me unless we both follow each other, but with Instagram you can. So if you want to reach out, I try to answer questions, try to be pretty good about that. So feel free to like follow me on Instagram and reach out there. The companies I do have, so Investor Real Estate, as well as Boatster, they have Instagram profiles. So if you want to, you know, here's some background. We give a little bit more details about different people involved with the companies. It's Invest STR, like Invest Short Term Rentals. Boatster is Boat STR. Unrelated, but I also have the domain names yachtster.com, suitster, vanster, just anything. If you have any ideas for something with the words STR at the end, I'll buy it from you.
Just grab it and wait. It's probably a good idea.
Exactly.
Dude, this has been really fun. I feel like we covered a lot of topics and I think we might need to do a part two, especially when you get the glamping set up and you have this property in Florida. I feel like we still have a lot of topics, but guys, for anyone listening, if you have questions about Jeremy or this episode that you want to see done for a part two, I've actually never mentioned this on the show, but when the episode releases on social media, it gets dropped into the Facebook group first. So if you're not part of that, it's Millennial Millionaires Through Real Estate Facebook group, and comment your questions there or stuff for Jeremy that you'd like to see more. I'll make sure Jeremy's in the group after this and we can tag team questions or just come up with a topic queue for the next episode or next live that we do or whatever. But yeah, Jeremy, I just want to say thank you for coming on, man. This has been great. I'm excited to meet, especially I feel like we cross paths in a lot of the same places, New York and North Carolina and Florida now, kind of like my three favorite US places. And we should definitely make it work. So Jeremy, any last parting words for the audience before we get you out of here?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying for whoever's listening to this and is thinking about, you know, there's so many, you know, Jonathan probably covers so many different strategies or ways to kind of start your side hustle. But yeah, just for anyone listening, I just say, go for it. Like, you know, really think like, do you have really anything to lose? So I think people kind of get stuck in kind of the like limbo, or maybe they look at an investment and they like, oh, what if this, you know, the returns aren't as good as like, I think they'll be. Like, honestly, like if you have enough determination and passion, it works out like 99 out of 100 times. So I would just, yeah, anyone listening, just who's on edge and wants to go for something, just do it.
Love it. That's such important advice for people to hear constantly. Jeremy, appreciate you coming on, man. Wish you all the best and look forward to doing this again.
Awesome. All right. Likewise, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you millennial millionaire. Are you looking for help getting to the next level in real estate? Are you looking for accountability and strategy to achieve your goals? If so, Jonathan is now taking on one-on-one students and opening a few spots in his private mastermind. It's affordable and welcome to everyone. If you had any questions or think you may need a boost, send Jonathan a message on Facebook or email at johnjfarber@outlook.com.